Good morning. The passage that we read together is a part of a larger teaching on the vine and the branches in John 15. And I was struck by the fact that this opening in John 15 states it just a little differently. Jesus says, "I am the true vine." That would mean that there must be some false vines. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." And of course, this whole 15th chapter goes into discipleship and the indispensables of discipleship and what it means to grow in Christ and bear fruit. With that in mind, let us go to the Lord in prayer today. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you that we can bear fruit. It is a possibility. It is a possibility if we abide in the vine. We hear that word today. Apart from you, we can do nothing. Zero. But with you, all things are possible. And so we pray today, as we open our hearts and minds, that we would allow this word to speak to us. Thank you for this teaching. I am the true vine. Lead us to a greater understanding of what this means. Amen. Well, I still feel out of whack from last week. I don't know about you, but I'm, you know, some of you might be saying, "Well, I never knew you were in whack." But I still feel out of whack. And I usually wake up real early on Sunday morning, and I woke up even earlier this morning, so I've been up a long time. It feels more like noon than 8:32. But I think that's one of the functions of a church worship service. Amen? Keeps us in whack instead of out of whack. And it gives us our routine, and it starts the week with God. And I hope it all taught us something in that decision not to have worship with the hurricane last week. But it is good to be back in our time of worship today. And what a great passage for us to look at today. I'd like to engage you just for a moment. You're seated near somebody, and if you're not, you can just look at someone. But I want you to say these words to the person seated next to you. I believe if you abide in Jesus Christ, you can bear fruit. Can you say that to your neighbor? I believe if you abide in Jesus Christ, you can bear fruit. Now, I want you to say that to yourself. I believe if I abide in Jesus Christ, I can bear fruit. You know, I think we've made bearing fruit way more complicated than it really is. It's not real complicated. And the teachings of bearing fruit are right here before us in this 15th chapter of John. It's not difficult. There are some principles that we have to follow, but it's not difficult. Now, fruitfulness goes back to the very beginning. In fact, there was bad fruit in the beginning. We remember in the Genesis account of the fall that there was a forbidden fruit. And so it taught us in the very beginning that there is some fruit that is bad. And it brings out the worst in us. It's sin. It's the fall. It's all the evil that we encounter. It all started back there. Bad fruit. So it's not just a matter of fruit, it's a matter of good fruit. And there is bad fruit. In the book of Isaiah, there are a couple of passages, and Isaiah, by the time Israel had made it this far in the journey, that they had gotten away from God so far that they were considered to be a vineyard that was completely out of control. They had turned away from God, and they were a vineyard that was totally out of control. And here's what the writer of Isaiah says about that. He built a watchtower, and he cut out a wine press as well. And then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Israel was out of control, like a vineyard that had not been pruned and managed, and it was producing bad fruit. Later in that same chapter, in verse 20, it talks about what bad fruit does to us. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, and who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Bad fruit, when we produce bad fruit, when our world sees signs of bad fruit, we just see no limit to how good is mistaken for evil, evil for good, the bitter for what is sweet. We have so many events in our world today that remind us that evil is so present. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had that terrible shooting in Las Vegas. We did not get a chance to acknowledge that in worship last week, the horror of evil in our world and the manifestations of evil. There is bad fruit. And we see the worst signs of it through signs of violence and horrific acts of evil. Well, Jesus spoke of good and bad fruit as well. In the Sermon on the Mount, we will remember that Jesus said a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And he said, by their fruits you will know them. So this idea of fruitfulness, even from Jesus, teaches us that there can be bad fruit or good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruit. Good trees produce good fruit. By their fruits you will know them, Jesus says. The Apostle Paul also talks about fruitfulness. And he says there is a bad list as well. In Galatians 5, there is behavior that the Apostle Paul lifts up, and he says, when you're not led by the Spirit, these are your fruits: the sinful nature, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now that gets our attention, doesn't it? That's a whole list of bad fruits and how far bad fruits go. They have an outcome as well. They corrupt. They bring people down. They have terrible consequences. But Paul lifts up, of course, some of the most poetic and beautiful passages just after this. The fruit of the Spirit, and there's nine: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Now compare that list with the first list. It's totally opposite. And one is bad fruit, and the other is good fruit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the question about fruitfulness, I would like to just begin by saying there is bad fruit. And there seems to be three different scenarios of fruitfulness. There can be bad fruit. There can be when a person is led by their own selfish ambition, when a person is led by their pride, When a person is led by their greed, when a person is led by their inner corruption, there will be bad fruit. When a person walks like that, that's the fruit they're going to produce. And we see it in our world today. If you have corruption in your heart, if you have a darkness, if you have evil in your heart, if you have the evil one in your heart, the manifestations of that fruit are so evident. There is bad fruit. There's also another status with fruitfulness. And I believe this is perhaps more relevant to our church and to you and I. It's this status of no fruit. Our heart is not totally corrupt. Our intentions are good. But yet we live day to day, week to week, looking and saying, am I really bearing fruit? I'm not so sure that I'm bearing fruit. There's a third status. And the third status is the one that Jesus points toward in this teaching. To bear fruit. We are his disciples if we bear fruit. It's one of the clear indicators of being a disciple, bearing fruit. He points out that there's attributes of this bearing fruit. It's love. If you have love, you'll bear fruit. If you abide in him, you will bear fruit. For apart from Christ, you can do nothing. So this sobering message is there as well. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. If we do not abide in Christ, we're just kidding ourselves. We're not going to be able to bear fruit. We might be able to put out an awkward impression and give that impression to folks, but we know deep within we're not bearing fruit. So let's take a closer look at what it means to bear fruits. And I want to make this as simple as I can. I think some of these messages about bearing fruit and being a disciple are just way too complicated. We need to just make them simple. Jesus gave us a way that we can live as his disciple. Jesus gave us a way we can bear fruit. So I have brought today, what do you see? It's a tomato. I suppose from 10, 12 pews back, it may look like an apple, but that's a real tomato. And I want you to know, as I was pondering this visual aid today, I thought about having all of you given a tomato at the door coming in today. But then my better judgment thought, that's not a good idea. So I'm just going to use one. This is a tomato. I believe it is a beefsteak tomato. Now, I'm not a tomato expert at all. Some of you at 8 o'clock, you give me counsel going out the door. You say, when I misstate things about tomatoes, and please do that today because I have two more sermons after this one. So if I misstate anything about how to grow a tomato, please tell me going out the door. But my understanding is those that produce good tomatoes, they take care of the vine. They take care of those little imitations of a tomato vine called suckers. And I believe this is what they look like. They grow in the tomato vine, and they look like part of the tomato vine. But the truth is, and Rob Fuquay points this out, is that these little suckers can destroy a tomato produce. If you let the suckers go, then the tomato plant will not grow tomatoes. The suckers zap all the energy out of the vine and out of the plant. And just looking at this tomatoology, there are little suckers and there are big suckers. And of course, I think we could conclude that little suckers or big suckers could bring your tomato harvest way down and not be as good. Now, you're out there thinking, Jesus spoke on grapes and vineyards. Why do you have a tomato in your hand? That's a good question, isn't it? If Jesus walked among us, he would point to things like this, wouldn't he? He would say the principles of growing a tomato are the same as growing grapes. You have to take care of the vine. You have to prune and you have to cut away. So the principles are the same. And by the way, with a healthy tomato plant, I'm not sure I said it, but you need to pinch off the suckers, the little suckers and the big suckers. Now it seems that some of us could benefit from that metaphor of the tomato plant. What is it in our life that would be like a sucker, a little sucker or a big sucker, that's zapping the life out of us, that's keeping us from being fruitful? You know, I watched a football game yesterday, and I have to get rid of a little sucker in my life today. I'm just so bothered by the fact Auburn blew a 20-point lead yesterday. So I have to pinch that sucker off that vine. It's given me a different look into the world this morning. But what is it that's distracting us? What is it that's keeping us from being totally devoted to Jesus Christ? What is it that is shaping our view of other people? What are the little suckers in our life we need to deal with? The envy, the jealousy, the guilt. What is it that is keeping us from being the disciple Christ wants us to be? Now, Jesus introduces this text, and really he lays out the points for this message. He said, the biggest verse in this is, I believe, the passage that Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So is there anybody here, anybody at all, that thinks we can bear the fruit Jesus wants us to bear without Jesus being in our heart and in our life? It's foolish, isn't it? But yet, we often proceed into situations without praying, without reading the scriptures, without walking with Christ. And it's as if we're expecting fruitfulness without walking with Christ. And it's just not going to happen. Fruitfulness will come as we walk with Christ, as we abide in the vine. Now, there's three things that Jesus teaches in this text. He says, first of all, we got to get rid of the dead limbs, the dead branches. They get in the way. They're obstacles to bearing fruit. So I would ask us, what is it that we have in our life that we keep holding on to that we no longer need? And it's been true for years. Is there any dead branch in our life that we have not cut off? Is there anything we need to give a proper funeral to? Some pattern of behavior, some attitude to where we just say, you know, that's not serving well. I need to just say, dearly beloved, I'm going to give that a funeral. I've been getting angry too easily, or I've been too upset about things I can't control. I've been out of sync with my walk with God. I'm going to give all of that a funeral. I'm going to cut those branches off. And I'm going to get rid of that which I no longer need. Do we have anything in our life we just need to cut off? It's not serving any purpose. We keep holding on to it. Have we overbooked our life? Do we have way too many things on our plate? I believe our discipleship should be the last thing we cut off. But what is it that we have made too big of a priority? What branches need to come off? Secondly, Jesus said we're to prune. We're to prune. If we have branches that are fruitful, we need to prune them so they'll be more fruitful. So what is it that we do that God uses that produces fruit that with some more pruning could produce more fruit? What is there in our life that has made a contribution, is making a contribution, but with some more obedience to Christ would make even a greater contribution? What is it that we need to prune to serve Christ? And then the third thing Jesus teaches is that we are to abide. We are to abide in the vine. Get rid of all the suckers. Get rid of all those things that distract us. Get rid of all those things that get us all off track, and abide in Jesus every day. It's not complicated to abide in Jesus Christ every day. I want you at this time, all of you that are able, to stand. This is 8:51. The end is in sight, but it's not quite here yet. And I want you to hold out your hands, your arms this way. Go ahead and stretch them out good. And wake up the person next to you that's fallen off. Good. Doesn't that feel good? All right. Rob Fuquay in his book introduced a simple analogy. He said fruitfulness is simple. One hand, you're attached to the vine, Jesus Christ. The other hand, you're bearing fruit. One hand, you're attached, you are abiding in the vine. The other hand, you're bearing fruit. So just think about that simple image this week. You can be seated. Thank you. One hand, abiding in Christ. The other hand, bearing fruit. Now, Bruce Wilkerson wrote a book several years ago entitled Secrets of the Vine. In Secrets of the Vine, he says there are basically three secrets. The first secret in the vine is that if there is a sin in your life, or if there is something in your life that you've not yielded to God, God will discipline us because he loves us. He will discipline us, and so we may go through a time where we're not bearing fruit, and it is simply because we are not committed to the Lord, or there's a sin in our life that we have elevated far beyond allegiance to the Lord. And Bruce Wilkinson says, this will keep us from bearing fruit. If there's something in our life, God will discipline us in hopes of bringing us back to fruitfulness. The second thing, secret of the vine is if we're bearing fruit, God will prune us so that we will bear more fruit. Now, pruning's not always fun. There's some pain in pruning. There may be giving up things in pruning, but God will prune us because he wants us to bear more fruit, and he makes that possible. Thirdly, the third secret of the vine, according to Bruce Wilkerson, is that if we are extremely fruitful, God wants us to abide in the vine of Jesus even more so that we will bear more fruit. So there's no room for complacency in this. If we're not bearing fruit, God disciplines us and calls us lovingly back home. If we're bearing some fruit, God prunes us so that more fruit can come. And if we're bearing great fruit, God wants us to abide all the more so that even more fruit can come. Simple teaching. What does this mean to us today? It means everything. You know, when we talk about bearing fruit, we introduce this message by just saying, I believe you can bear fruit. I believe I can bear fruit. And bearing fruit is allowing Christ to abide in us so that we'll have love in our life. Have we thought about fruit as being love? Joy? Peace? Patience? Kindness? My goodness, our world could use kindness, couldn't it? Gentleness? Self-control? Faithfulness? If we will abide in the vine, we can bear this kind of fruit. And does this kind of fruit make a difference? Absolutely. People long to be around people that are living and abiding in Christ. And we can do this. We can do this. We can bear this fruit. The world, Jesus is looking to the church to bear this fruit, to show his love, to show his kindness, to show all of these fruits to the world, and to see the true vine of Jesus Christ, to know this power that only he can give. Would you pray with me? We thank you, God, for this teaching that Jesus is the true vine. We thank you that we can bear fruit as we walk with you. Help us to walk with you this week and bear fruit that we might show ourselves to be your disciples. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.